Robbie Buck and Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.
We have got a fabulous historian with us this morning, and this is for Eora Nation, number 75, if you don't mind. This is a brand new book. It's called The Sydney Wars, and this is very confronting material, but I suppose it couldn't be more timely, really, because this week, on the Tuesday, the 17th of April, to be precise, marks the 202nd anniversary of the Appin Massacre, where more than 100 people, both black and white, were killed in one of the most violent events in early colonial times. And I'm sure our guest will be able to tell us all about that. His name is Stephen Gapps. His new book is called The Sydney Wars, Conflict in the Early Colony, 1788 to 1817. And he joins us now. Hello there, Stephen.
Hi.
Nice to have you with us. Well, the main thing that I guess you wanted to talk about with this book that you've written, and a very handsome volume it is too, is you wanted to address this idea that what happened in Sydney is often characterised, you know, between the colonialists and the Indigenous population, it was often characterised as just skirmishes, but you say it was war. And why do you say that?
Well, I guess several reasons. It's a series of wars in a way. I think at the time the British were recognised that this was a period of small wars, and even today we think of it as a period of different little wars or mm-hmm. what the British at the time called small wars around the empire. So I've sort of brought these you know, different wars that some people call it, you know, the Pemulwuy's War and the Maize Wars and the Hawkesbury Wars. So I sort of pulled them together to look at them in the context of the Sydney Basin as a whole, extending out to Appin as well.
And people forget how militarily well-equipped the early colony was, wasn't it? Tell us about the garrisons and how well-armed the militia and the civilians were.
I guess one of the interesting things for me was finding out just exactly how militarised the early colony was. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, I think historians often think of the military as the redcoats, the soldiers and the garrisons, but the colony was so stretched and had so few troops, very early on in particular, until Macquarie. And even then, there was all these uses of even armed convicts and armed sailors and different militia forces going on all the time, adding to that defence that they felt they needed at certain points.
Stephen, can I ask you about how you research a book like this? I mean, what's on the record? What's available to you when you go digging for information around all of this era?
Well, look, in some ways, a lot of this has been looked at by historians over and over again, the early colonial period. Yeah. And I was revisiting a lot of that work. And a lot of it is common knowledge, but I guess I was really searching for the military side of a lot of engagements and the paramilitary side of these engagements. And just trying to pull all together the conflict and the violence that occurred in that period, 1788 to around 1816, 17, and just step back and analyse the types of conflicts, where they occurred, and what's been written about them. And I was constantly surprised by the amount of times diarists, early colonial diarists, and people who remembered these events from the 19th century actually wrote about it as war or warfare.
Mm. And guerrilla warfare as well, I suppose. Is that how you would characterise what the Indigenous people were doing?
Essentially, yes, yes. There were moments, and I think we tend often to forget that there were actual small battles and skirmishes.
But how would they have gone? I mean, you're talking about the colonials having guns and I suppose they had cannons and stuff as well. And how on earth did they battle when the Aboriginal people, I guess, just had spears?
Well, one of the most effective engagements that I've come across for Aboriginal warriors at the time were when they were in a prepared position and they'd stockpiled stones and spears and weaponry, and often in terrain of their choosing, where armed parties or military and militia confronted them. And they had a prepared defensive position and they were able to actually win a couple of those
and
small battles.
Were they something that the locals and the Aboriginal people had mapped out and practiced for a long time? Do you know? Well, I mean, it's hard to know, I suppose.
Yeah, but it seems there were other, in Queensland and elsewhere, there were other similar types of engagements where the weapons were stockpiled. So it was obviously a known practice.
They'd really have the upper hand in knowing the territory and knowing the... Exactly. And of course, they'd be devastating with spears as well, wouldn't they? It'd be the accuracy.
But is it any match for a gun?
Well
surprisingly,
times.
It is.
Yeah.
I've done a study of the casualties that occurred during that time, and it was pretty even. It was around 100 deaths, and we were really hard to get the figures. Often they're described as just many wounded or several wounded. So the casualty rate was quite similar. The rate of fire of muskets was reasonably slow, perhaps not as slow as many historians have said, but so the engagements were reasonably equal depending on numbers. The thing that I think that people miss about the firepower of European muskets is two or three muskets is able to be dealt with reasonably well by warriors with spears. It's a concentration of firepower. When you can get 30 or 40 muskets, it's unbeatable.
Yeah, yeah. And tell us about the impact that it had on, so-called civilians, I suppose, women and children.
And that's one of the things I tried to do is look at this as a history of violence in the colony. And it's surprising the amount of times that women and children were involved in raids in farms and the out settlements. And Aboriginal people were travelling in large bands of family groups and would sort of shift into guerrilla warfare tactics and then shift back to their bands. And women and children there were involved in the several massacres as well.
And so who was doing the raiding of who here? Were Aboriginal people ever raiding those white farms and settlements taking people? And then it was going on by both sides, yeah?
Yeah. And the raids on the Hawkesbury and down the southwest around Appin area, cow pastures, were in several periods in the 1790s and 1804-5 and 1816 in particular. There were large groups of up to 400 Aboriginal warriors raiding farms and, taking corn and belongings and muskets as well. We mustn't forget that there were various points where the colonial authorities were very, very threatened by the fact that some convicts had escaped into the bush in Sydney and were working with Aboriginal warriors.
Wow. Is that right? Okay. Mm. So, of course, when smallpox swept through the place, that was had a huge effect on the Aboriginal population, didn't it? I mean, they were decimated, really.
I think that's I talk about that as one of the key points in this history, and perhaps one of the reasons why we've never been able to think of it as a series of wars. Because the Sydney Aboriginal population were decimated in 1789 with the smallpox plague and, must have lost about half their force of warriors, so that the nature of warfare had to change. It had to go towards a more guerrilla raiding campaign.
What do you want to change by writing this book, Stephen? How would you like for us to think differently?
Really, I mean, I'd really like, in particular, people who live in Sydney to really consider the terrain that they live in and its history of resistance warfare and, think about it as wars that should be thought about and remembered. I mean, we're coming up to Anzac Day and we're, going to significantly remember that.
Yep.
I think this is a book about trying to tell the truth of what happened in this conflict. And also to promote remembrance of it.
Would you like to see something set aside for remembrance, a special occasion, a national occasion for remembrance of these wars perhaps?
Look, I see this, my work at the moment, as a bit of a platform for other people to work okay. with, and I'd really like to see Aboriginal people involved in working out what that might be.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well, it's an absolutely fascinating book, and I know this is your fourth. You are most interested in multicultural history. You've written books on ships and all that business. And you're particularly interested in the colonial period,
that's
of course.
Right. Mm.
And because Stephen works as a curator at the National Maritime Museum in Darling Harbour. And this is your first one, though, about the military history of that time.
Correct, yes.
That time.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. It is a really extraordinary work. You've done an incredible amount of research and all fascinating maps and, you know, all the rest. It's a beauty. Good on you. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you.
This Stephen Gapps is the name, and the book is called The Sydney Wars, Conflict in the Early Colony, 1788 to 1817.
Robbie Buck and Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.